This is the sixth day of this October 2007 seven-day sesshin. I'm going to take up a koan today. This is a number. This is from the Book of Serenity, or the Shoyo Roku. Roku means record or book. Sometimes it's called the Book of Equanimity. It's the collection of koans that is usually taken up after the Blue Cliff record, that is by students of teachers who offer koan training. It's number 13 in the Shoyo Roku, called Linji's Blind Donkey. Linji is the original Chinese name of this Chinese master, who in Japan is called Rinzai. When Linji was about to die, he entrusted Sansheng with his Dharma line, saying, "After my death, do not destroy the essence of my true Dharma." Sansheng asked, "Who would dare destroy the essence of your true Dharma?" Linji said, "If someone asks you about it, how will you respond?" Sansheng instantly shouted. And then Linji said, "Who would have thought that the essence of my true Dharma would be destroyed by this blind donkey?" We do have material about this, the legendary Linji, and less about this other guy, Sansheng. I'll be reading here from Andy Ferguson's book, Zen's Chinese Heritage. Linji's, he died in the year 866, which places him squarely in the great Tang Dynasty. He was a disciple of Huang Bo, or in Japanese, Obaku. He founded, of course, the Linji school, the Rinzai school, and it remains one of the two lineages that survive to the present day, that and the Soto. He began by taking the vows of a monk. And first he studied the sutras, very common among the masters of old, to first investigate and do a comprehensive study of the sutras. And then he moved on from there to the Vinaya. That's the school that emphasizes a mastery of the Buddhist, the monastic rules and the precepts. And then from there, the various doctrines that were carried on the currents of Buddhism in his era. He also practiced under Guishan, that's Isan in Japanese, but his enlightenment came under this Huang Bo. And this is how it happened. From the beginning of his residence at Wang. By the way, these stories and dialogues in here in this book are translations of the original records that go back not as far as the Bodhidharma anthology, but till just a almost. From the beginning of his residence at Huangbo, Linji's performance of his duties was exemplary. And at that time, a certain Mu Zhou served as the head monk. And this head monk asked Linji, "How long have you been practicing here?" Linji said, "3 years." The head monk said, "Have you gone for an interview with the master or not? Have you gone to Doksan with the master?" Linji said, "I haven't done so. I don't know what to ask him. Can anyone relate to that? The head monk said, why not ask him, what is the essential meaning of Buddhism? So Linji went to see Huangbo, but before he could finish his question, Huangbo struck him. So Linji went back to the head monk, who asked him, what happened when you asked him? Linji said, before I could get the words out, he hit me. I don't understand. The head monk said, go ask him again. So Linji asked Huangbo again, and again Huangbo hit him. Linji asked a third time, and Huangbo hit him again. To get this kind of treatment from the great Huangbo meant that this was a man of this. Linji was a young student of extraordinary potential, and that, of course, Huangbo recognized that. So Linji went back to the head monk and he said, you urged me to ask about the Dharma, but all I got was a beating. Because of evil karmic hindrances, I'm not able to understand the essential mystery. So today, I'm going to leave. Notice here, he takes on the full responsibility for not getting it. Because of my bad karma, my obstructive karma, I'm not able to understand it. He must have been discouraged, you know, to decide that he's going to leave. And the head monk said, if you're going to leave, you ought to say goodbye to the master. So Linji bowed to the head monk and went off. The head monk then himself went to Huangbo and said, that monk who asked you the questions, although he's young, he's very extraordinary. If he comes to say goodbye to you, please give him appropriate instruction. As if Huangbo needed that advice. And then the head monk says, later he'll become a great tree under which everyone on earth will find refreshing shade. So the next day, Linji did come to say goodbye to Huangbo. Huangbo said, you don't need to go somewhere else. Just go over to the Gaoan Monastery and practice with Da Yu. He'll explain it to you. When Linji reached Da Yu, Da Yu said, where have you come from? Linji said, from Huangbo. Da Yu said, what did Huangbo say? And Linji said, three times I asked him about the essential doctrine, and three times I got hit. I don't know if I made some error or not. Dayu said, Huangbo has old grandmotherly affection and endures all this difficulty for your sake. And here you are asking whether you've made some error or not. And upon hearing these words, Linji was awakened. Another account says it was a great awakening. And then Linji said, actually, Huangbo's Dharma is not so great. Now he's feeling his oats. And Dayu grabbed him and said, why, you little bedwetter. You just came and said you don't understand, but now you say there's not so much to Huangbo's teaching. What do you see? Speak, speak. Linji then hit Dayu on his side three times. Dayu let go of him and said, Your teacher is Wang Bo. I've got nothing to do with it. Lin Ji then left Dayu and went back to Wang Bo. Okay, this is a new guy now. Wang Bo saw him and said, "This fellow who's coming and going, when will he ever stop?" Lin Ji said to him, "Only through grandmotherly concern." And then Lin Ji bowed and stood in front of Wang Bo. Wang Bo said, "Who has gone and returned?" Lin Ji said, "Yesterday I received the master's compassionate instruction. Today I went and practiced at Dayu's." Wang Bo said, "What did Dayu say?" And Lin Ji recounted his meeting with Dayu. Wang Bo said, "That old fellow, Dayu, talks too much. Next time I see him, I'll give him a painful swat." Lin Ji said, "Why wait until later? Here's a swat right now." And then Lin Ji hit Wang Bo. Wang Bo yelled, "This crazy fellow has come here and grabbed the tiger's whiskers." Lin Ji shouted. Wang Bo then yelled to his attendant, "Take this crazy man to the practice hall." That's the end of that account of Lin Ji's awakening and the aftermath. Here's another story involving Lin Ji. One day he was sleeping in the monk's hall. Wang Bo came in and, seeing him lying there, struck the floor with his staff. Lin Ji woke up and lifted his head. Seeing Wang Bo standing there, he then put his head down and went back to sleep. Wang Bo struck the floor again and walked to the upper section of the hall. He then saw the head monk who was sitting in Zazen. Wang Bo said, "There's someone down below who is sitting in meditation. What do you imagine you're doing?" The head monk said, "What's going on with this old fellow?" And Guishan told this story to Yangshan. This may have been, who knows, weeks or years later. And Yangshan said, "Just like old Wang Bo. What was his meaning?" To which Yangshan said, "Two betters, one race." Another time, Wang Bo walked into the kitchen and asked the cook, "What are you doing?" Well, the cook must have been so happy to see him. The cook said, "Selecting rice for the monk's meal." Wang Bo said, "How much do they eat in one meal?" Innocent enough question, isn't it? The cook said, 2.5 stone, which the translator says comes out to 150 kilos, over 300 pounds. You can imagine how many. There were hundreds of monks in these monasteries. Wang Bo said, "Isn't that too much?" The cook said, "I'm afraid it's not enough." To which Wang Bo hit him. The cook related this event to Lin Ji. Lin Ji said, "I'll check out the old fellow for you." He then went and stood in attendance for Wang Bo. Wang Bo brought up his conversation with the cook. Lin Ji said, "The cook doesn't understand. Please, master, say a turning phrase on his behalf." To which Wang Bo said, "Okay, you ask it." So Lin Ji repeated what Wang Bo had said to the cook. "Isn't that too much?" And Wang Bo said, "Tomorrow, have another meal." Lin Ji said, "Why say tomorrow? Have a meal right now." And so saying, he hit Wang Bo. You know, when it was the student hitting the master, we can be sure that it wasn't any kind of severe blows. Although it sounds like what Lin Shi had gotten from Wang Bo was stronger. Oh, wait, it's still a more here. So Lin Shi hit Wang Bo. Wang Bo yelled, "This crazy man has come in here and grabbed the tiger's whiskers again." Lin Shi shouted and went out. That's the end of that. Lin Shi didn't do things half-heartedly. Neither did Wang Bo. Another time Lin Shi went to visit Bodhidharma's stupa. The caretaker there said, "Will you first bow to the Buddha or will you first bow to Bodhidharma?" Lin Shi said, "I don't bow to either one." The caretaker said, "How did the Buddha and Bodhidharma offend you?" Lin Shi shook his sleeves and left. One final one. Lin Shi said once to the monks, "There is a type of student who goes to Mount Wutai to seek out Manjushri." Mount Wutai in Japanese is Mount Gotai, and it was said to be the abode of the Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom. "There's a type of student who goes to Mount Wutai to seek out Manjushri. That student has already made a mistake. There's no Manjushri at Mount Wutai. Do you want to know Manjushri? It's just what is in front of your eyes. From first to last, it's not anything else. Don't doubt it anywhere you go. It's the living Manjushri." And then for the other guy in today's koan, San Sheng, we have no dates on him, but he did become Lin Shi's Dharma heir. And he compiled his teacher's words in a very famous Zen text called the Record of Lin Shi. And in Japan, they call it the Rinzai Roku. Very little, almost no biographical material on this San Sheng. When San Sheng met Xiang Yan, Xiang Yan asked, "Where are you from?" San Sheng said, "From Lin Shi." Xiang Yan said, "Did you bring Lin Shi's shout?" San Sheng suddenly picked up a cushion and struck Xiang Yan in the mouth with it. When San Sheng arrived at Mount De, he started to arrange his sitting items when De Shan said, De Shan is the great Toksan in Japanese, when De Shan said, "Don't put out your meal apron, there's no rice here." Rice, you need to understand, rice was a loaded word in China as it is and was in Japan. Rice had this almost mystical significance in these countries. It was the staff of life, and it came to symbolize life. And truth. "Don't put out your meal apron. There's no rice here." Sang Shun said, "Although it's here, it can't be shown." De Shan took his staff and made as if to strike Sang Shun. Sang Shun grabbed it and pushed De Shan onto the tan, the meditation platform. De Shan laughed loudly. San Sheng shouted and went out. Then San Sheng went to Shui Feng's. Shui Feng is Seppo in Japanese. And he heard Shui Feng give a teaching that all persons without exception have an ancient mirror. This monkey has an ancient mirror. San Sheng stepped forth and said, "For endless kalpas it has been nameless. Why does the master propose it to be an ancient mirror?" Shui Feng said, "It's because of defective existence." San Sheng said, "As for me, I don't see where you came up with this." Shui Feng said, "My mistake. I have many duties as abbot." All right, that's enough. That's all the material we have on San Sheng and then Lin Ji. So let's go back to the koan. There's an introduction in our workbooks of these koans. It's only in the Mumonkan that we have students work on the introductions and verses and things like that. But I'll just read the introduction to this koan, Linji's Blind Donkey. The introduction. Okay, who did that? In the introduction and the commentary in these koans is done by a master by the name of Wan Song. He said, as the introduction, "Devoted entirely to helping others, you don't know there is self. You should exert the law to the fullest, without concern that there be no people. For this it is necessary to have the ruthless ability to snap a wooden pillar in two. When about to go, what then?" And then the back to the case. So Lin Ji was on his deathbed, and it says he entrusted San Sheng with his Dharma line. Exactly what that means is not clear, but it was some transmission there. And then he said, "After my death, do not destroy the essence of my true Dharma." What about that statement? As if the Dharma is a matter of getting it right or wrong. As if it's a matter of faithfully transmitting some doctrine or truth or document. The Dharma, the true Dharma, it's beyond birth and death. The Dharma, the true Dharma, existed long before Shakyamuni himself. The other great Chinese master, Zhao Zhou, was once asked, "What is the teaching in the remote mountains where no one is present. Or we could say, what is the Dharma there? And Zhaozhou said, large rocks are large, small rocks are small. A great Japanese master, Daiyo Kokushi, who became the national teacher, had these wonderful words about the Dharma. He says, there is a reality even prior to heaven and earth. Indeed, it has no form, much less a name. Eyes fail to see it. It has no voice for ears to detect. To call it mind or Buddha violates its nature, for it then becomes like a visionary flower in the air. It is not mind, nor Buddha. Absolutely quiet and yet illuminating in a mysterious way, it allows itself to be perceived only by the clear-eyed. It is Dharma truly beyond form and sound. It is Tao, having nothing to do with words. Wishing to entice the blind, the Buddha has playfully let words escape his golden mouth. Heaven and earth are ever since filled with entangling briars. Oh, my good worthy friends gathered here, if you desire to listen to the thunderous voice of the Dharma, exhaust your words, empty your thoughts, for then you may come to recognize this one essence. So Sansheng replies to the reclining Linji, who would dare destroy the essence of your true Dharma? What is he really saying? This is one of the points of the koan. And then Linji said, if someone asks you about it, how will you respond? At that, Sansheng instantly shouted. This master Wan Song, who included his commentaries in this book, the Shoryoroku. His commentary on this was, when you don't stop what should be stopped, instead you bring about disorder. Sansheng immediately shouted. In high antiquity and later times, appearing within this gate, since Baijiang was deafened for 3 days by Ma Zhu's shout, none have compared to this shout of Sansheng. Baijiang, Weihai, was Wang Bo's teacher, so Linji's spiritual grandfather. And he himself, this is part of Zen legend, that he was deafened for 3 days by his own master's shout, the Ma Zhu's shout. So Linji, if someone asks you about it, how will you respond? How do you communicate the Dharma? Well, you certainly can't communicate it half-heartedly. It has to be with one's whole being. Words can hint at it, can point to it, and many masters have responded with words, but they didn't do it half-heartedly. San Sheng chose the shout. Emerson said, sometimes a scream is better than a thesis. San Sheng and shouting to Lin Ji was in good company. The geese that we hear honking out here, they too. Ask them, if you were asked about the matter, how will you respond? There it is. Perfect. Nothing held back. Or the most delicate song of a bird. It's nothing that bird holds back, even in its delicate song. Its whole body is involved. You might say that all of Zen practice and training is to enable us to embody this Dharma, to be able to manifest it as a living reality, which always means the body, always means the concrete. Not just to talk about it, not just to think about it, but to actually show it. I'm still considering changing the fourth of our four vows to read, the great way of Buddha, I vow to embody. This is the version, more or less, that's used in by Eitken Roshi, at least last I heard. Don't know whether it's still the case, but. And this is the work of Dokusan, is to embody it, this Dharma. Dogen, I think it was Dogen, who said, when you were born, you could roar like a lion. See that newborn baby? It's all body. Complete expression expresses itself only with the body, including the voice. And of course, nothing held back. Why can they scream? With their whole body. What happens? What happens as we age, get older? We get so much more in our heads. We learn to hold back, to step back and intellectualize, conceptualize, instead of just expressing ourselves fully. That's what San Sheng did. He tore his bleeding red heart out of his body and held it out to Linji. Whoa! There's in the this book of Serenity, again the commentator Wan Song says in the original record, Sangshang finally bowed. This was after Linji said, "Who'd have thought that the essence of my true dharma would be destroyed by this blind monkey?" Donkey. Wouldn't want to say monkey. Sangcheng finally bowed. This was not quite good-hearted, Wan Song teases. And then Linji bequeathed a verse after all this. He said, if one asks how it is along the flow without end, real illumination, boundless, bespeaks it to him. Apart from names and characterizations, people don't understand. Once the sword is used, it should immediately be polished. And when he finished with his verse, he calmly passed away. There is this emphasis in Zen, not on avoiding words altogether, but on finding, whenever one can, find live words. And live words means words in which words that comes out of one's experience, out of one's bodily experience. That's what experience is. It's bodily. Dead words are words that come just out of one's intellectualizations of things, one's thoughts, concepts. Hakuin might have commented on this shout of Sangcheng. He might have commented that he went beyond ego and past clever words. And Linji's response after this shout died out there in his chambers and his deathbed, he said, "Who'd have thought that the essence of my true dharma would be destroyed by this blind donkey?" It's another point of the koan. What was he saying? Was he finding fault with Sangcheng? If so, in what way? Doesn't say that it was a half-hearted shout. It was a shout. Many, many hundreds of monks, since this incident happened, have used the shout without really understanding it. It's a lot of imitation, even today. A certain school of Zen in North America where you read all the time about these students shouting and hitting their fists. It makes good for good theater, but is it the real thing? We just have one more day of Sesshin. If there were ever a time to bring out this shout, it's now, in these next 24 hours, 30 hours. I'm not speaking literally, but to bring one's whole being into this work with nothing held back, quietly, with one's whole mind, body, not straining, not with tension. That's not the point. It misses the point. With one's whole mind. Nothing held back. This is it. If not now, when? Stop now and recite the four vows.